Talking tonight about spiritual warfare, and we have a little guy there. We got a couple of guys here. I'm going to bring them over here. I put them on behind my back here, so that there's a couple of other guys. I want to introduce a few people to you. Here's one fella, and he wants to say hi to you, and he's very happy to be here. He's been one of our best congregation members, and there's another one coming along, and he's been bugging me as well. This guy here. This one here asks a lot of questions. This one here asks a lot of questions. This guy here likes to talk a lot. So we want to make sure. Come on, you better get a picture of this guy here because he needs to be. We need to put this on Facebook so that all our friends can see these guys. You see what's happening here at the ministry. When everybody's gone away, there's a whole pile of them there. So go ahead, just snap a few of those, and we're going to enjoy the ministry together. So this is the family of God that needs to be. All right, wave at them, say goodbye. Y'all go to sleep tonight. Thank you for combing my hair. Thought we'd have a little refreshing here tonight. I told you we'd talk about warfare tonight, so that was warfare right there. So if you turn in your Bibles with me, you're talking about spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about what I want to title this message is about mind games. Mind games. So I think you know where I'm going here with this. I titled this message Mind Games. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And I want to be mindful of my time tonight. And so 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says here, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, I think some people have been, overstating this verse of scripture and making it trying to say things that it actually is not saying. You know, you can take a scripture out of context, pull it out of its context, and make it say something. So here's what we want to talk about, the context. The context here is about the mind. It's about what happens in your mind. So we want to talk about mind games. You know, people like to play mind games sometimes with you. I think if you're a gambler or somebody, or if you're some kind of a guy, if you're a chess guy, or if you're maybe a hockey coach, playing with another hockey team, and you're playing mind games of what to do, your strategy and so on. And the devil, you know, he has strategies, and he plays mind games with everybody. And so Paul here, writing to the church at Corinth, he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or not natural. They're not human. Our weapons are not human. They're not human, natural weapons. But what are they? Well, he said, but they're mighty through God. In other words, their God supplies the weapon, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have to do something that is pull down strongholds. So over here, it talks about strongholds. And a lot of times people think about strongholds, you know, and they'll use that and to mean, you know, there's it could mean it, but it you know, in this sense here, it's not talking about that the devil is making a battle, like we got to pull down the strongholds over a city or something. No, you never see Jesus pulling down strongholds over any city in the Gospels. You never see Paul and the apostles pulling down strongholds over a city. In any city they preach that. And so these things, people are trying to make things, say things, and they spiritualize or over-spiritualize things, emphasize certain things. And they try to, say things that are not there, but they confuse people. And so that's why the church is confused, because they want to pull down the atmosphere of the demonic forces over a city. Well, that's not in the Bible. We don't see that ever in the Bible. That's not in the Bible anywhere. But there are heavenly activity going on over our cities, and they want to infiltrate the environment. And they do it through people. The only access the devil has and his demons is through people. And so he has access to us. He has strategies how to do that, how to come to you. And so we want to look at some things the Bible says about what he's doing. And so there's a war going on right now. So I want to tell you tonight about, you know, that God has given us resources so that we can win the warfare. The devil has his strategies, but God already has made provision for us to win every battle. And you have to pay attention tonight because you might think, well, I heard the scripture before. You know, I heard that teaching before. You can't teach me anything. Well, wait a minute. I mean, you got to open up your mind and start thinking, right? Because sometimes people think they know scripture or know a portion of scripture, but they fail to realize that, you know, that there's many, avenues or understanding about a certain scripture. But to our discussion tonight, this scripture is talking about, you know, struggles of the mind. The things that go on in the mind, the games that go on in the mind. The enemy is playing with you and telling you you'll never make it. He's telling you you're going to die this year or that you got away last year and that same thing is up back on you again and you'll never get out of the addictions. You'll never get out of the financial dismay that you're in. You're going to go down. You're going to die early. You're going to lose all your children. You're going to lose all your hair. That'd be a horrible thing to lose all your hair. Well, some people don't mind it. I guess you could get used to it. I could get used to it, I guess, if I was 150. But not right now. I don't want to lose any of my hair. I'm believing God to keep all my hair. I've been teasing a lot of folk about their hair, but I noticed some hair fell out, and so I'm repenting right away, and I'm not going to tease anybody about, you know, this strategy of losing my hair. So there's a war going on, and the war is going on right over here. This is the war is going on. And the strategy of the devil is to attack your mind. The devil wants to attack you in the mind, or he has access to your soul, which is your part of your mind, and he wants to put pictures in there of failure, pictures of sickness, of defeat, pictures of dismay, of disappointment, of not making ends meet. The devil wants to put pictures in a moment of time in your mind, and he'll attack you through different things. So there's a warfare going on, and it's not what you think it is. And the warfare is going on between, you know, over here. And so he's going to attack that, and there's the struggle is you're going to have to learn how to battle thoughts that come racing at you. And those thoughts are going to come in a time when you feel defeated. They're going to come in a time when you're maybe not aware or unaware that you're being attacked, and maybe you're going to be overwhelmed with emotions, and that's what's going to happen because you already saw problems. So the devil's going to attack, so there's a warfare going on. And so this is not a human warfare, this is a spiritual warfare. And so that's what we're talking about, the spiritual warfare. So it's in the mental arena and in the minds of people. So this is where the warfare is coming on. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, and let's go ahead and read the context here. Paul is saying, though we walk in the flesh, in other words, though we are human beings, we're walking in our physical bodies, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we're not going to fight a natural weapon. You're not going to wrestle the devil and or demons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds will live in the mind of a man because a stronghold is a thought or a thought pattern that's been playing over and over in your mind and you've been trained to think a certain way. And it takes a long time to redo that groove and change it. And it takes discipline and takes some work on your part to be able to change that. So he talks about there, notice the last verse, I guess He says, casting down imaginations. So there you go. The warfare is about imaginations. You know, a lot of people say sometimes your imaginations, you're losing your mind. Your mind, you have a really healthy imagination. You're thinking about all kinds of things that are not there. In fact, you know, I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I used to walk from my grandmother's house and to my house. I'd go visit my grandmother. It was light back then. And then when coming back, it's dark. So I was afraid when I was at my cousin's home, Ed Wesley. He just lived, you know, right across the way. It wasn't that far. It takes you minutes to travel there. But you know what? When you're 10 years old, 8 years old, and that's a long way, a two-minute walk in the pitch dark is a long walk. And so we didn't have any outdoor lighting. We didn't have electricity. There was no lighting outside on the street back then. We was basically almost in the bush. And so sometimes, thank God for the moonlight. But sometimes as a little child, I would see things there that's not there. If there's a noise going on, I might think it's the boogeyman. You know, the people back then, they would tell scary stories, and they would frighten us children because they don't want us to go around at night because we might meet up with somebody that might capture us, or a boogeyman or something. So my mind would play all these games on me, thinking that I might meet up with this guy. If I'm running home, I'd run as fast as I could, and just hurry into my house in the doorway and just slip right in. And I'd just be, ooh, I'm glad I made it. That boogeyman didn't get me. But that would happen not only one time. It happened several times throughout the year. In fact, I stopped doing that when I was about 17. And so, in fact, it happened a very long time. But then, you know, these things. So he's saying here, casting down imaginations. And so we're going to have to learn how to deal with our imagination. Because your imagination can run wild, particularly when it's under attack. And so he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, there's going to be information coming to you that is not scriptural, that's not Bible. And you're going to have to recognize that. And then you're going to believe those thoughts because this is natural thinking. If you're a carnal person, if you're a person given to just natural thinking, you're going to get into the imagination part. You're going to see yourself dead. You're going to see yourself out of money. You're going to see yourself with a broken marriage. You're going to see yourself, your children are all on drugs. You're going to see yourself never making it. You know, your ministry is going down the drain. I mean, everything's going, everybody's after you and so on and so forth. And so you're going to have to learn how to be obedient and take care of this thing. And so here it says that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, these imaginations coming from the devil is going to try to exalt itself more powerful than the Word of God that's been planted in your mind. You're going to have to be disciplined to go to the Word of God and learn how to take control of it. So you have the authority to control your own mind, your own thinking. And so, we'll look at some scripture here about the mind. So it says here, bringing into captivity or casting out imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Everybody say that now. Every thought. Now you say that to yourself, every thought. Because thoughts are coming to you. Lots of thoughts are coming to you from the devil. And he's attacking you. This is a spiritual warfare. And you're going to have to take every thought captive and bring it down to the obedience of Christ. So we're talking tonight about spiritual warfare. And that warfare is happening in the minds of people. And it's negativity, it's failure, it's defeat, it's sickness, it's poverty, it's fear-based. Everything in it is nothing but ugliness that you don't want to get into. So you're going to have to learn how to be obedient, to understand and take the knowledge of God against that thought coming against you in your mind. So the warfare that's happening is not out here somewhere. It's over here in your mind. So you're going to have to do something about it. So I can't say it enough because people are going to hear this and they go around and they're going to forget about what we said tonight. We don't want you to do that. So that's why, you know, I like to be redundant. I was heard, you know, I'm one of our teachers, Doug Jones, back over when I was in Rhema Bible training. By the way, it's 20 plus years now. My wife and I graduated from Rhema Bible Training College, and we celebrated on the 19th of May our 20th year of graduation from Rhema Bible Training Center College. And so, you know, we need to understand something. What I want to refer to, this teacher of ours back in school, he said, you know, when I came to Rhema, you know, particularly I remember he said something about Brother Hagin leaving. When Brother Hagin left in August of, 2005, I can't remember when he died. He would have been over 100 years old now. He said, Brother Hagin would continually teach on love. All the years before he left, he kept teaching on love, the love of God, the love of what you're going to do with love, the God kind of love, and learning to love people, and so on. He'd be teaching on that. And, you know, somebody said the most important thing anybody says before they leave the world is what they've been saying all along at the end of their lives. He taught on love more than anything else, and people talk about, you know, Brother Hagin, it's his faith, but his walk of love was probably stronger than the faith walk. And so he said, when I came to Rhema, listening to Brother Hagin all those years, he said, I was cured from redundancy, from the practice of continuing on to hearing the same thing. And then I started practicing to teach the same thing over and over, the same thing over and over, because faith comes by hearing and hearing. Somebody said, I don't know if it's true. If you look at it, and I see it to me, it seems true to me, because I hear something, I think I know it, and I think I got it, but then I don't have it. Somebody said, you got to hear something at least 50 times. Well, if you take a CD and listen to that 50 times, it's going to get in you. So that's why you have to keep listening to something over and over. So what I've done over the years is I've listened to certain CDs or messages, not just one time, not just two times, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, many, many times over one area of one CD message or something that I really enjoyed, that spoke to me, that answered a situation in my life. And that's why, that's how you're going to have to defeat the enemy, is hear something about an area you've been weak in. And so, the devil's tactic. What's the devil's tactic? Well, he attacks the mind through imagination, through thoughts, giving you thoughts. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul continues to talk to these Corinthians. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent or the devil beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, some things in the teachings of Christ are so simple and yet complicated, because the devil will bring on thoughts just to add on stuff to get you so complicated and mixed up and thinking crazy about certain things that you think you're doing yourself good. But stay simple with the Word of God. And so the devil liked to complicate things. And so Paul said, you know, this is how Eve, you know, she was tempted, and she was tempted there, beguiled through the subtlety. The devil is very subtle with his ways. And he said that to the Corinthians, he said, I don't want you to be tricked like the devil tricked Eve, you Corinthians, because stay simple, stay in the Word, and stay simple with the Word of God. Take scriptures that will answer certain things about your life, and stay on it. It's not how much Bible you read. Now, you can do this. You can read a whole pile of Bible just to understand the structure and the chronological ordering of the scriptures, and learning different books, and who authored different things, and study all that stuff. But sometimes you just have to stick with one subject that you're being bothered by. Sometimes, you know, I read a one-year Bible, but I'm also reading things that affect me. I don't read one area. I read things that cover my case. So if you need a certain nutrition, you eat a certain nutritional food item because it answers certain things that your body needs. So you just don't eat everything. You eat that area or that portion of nutrition, item that you need that will help your body. Somebody said, I was reminded about this, said, you are what you eat. You know, my wife reminded me that eat your food for healing. eat your food for healing. I think the Lord was talking to me. So, you know, what you eat, you'll produce whatever. If it's garbage, you'll be like garbage, or your body will be like garbage. So look at this. This is how he attacks. It's very, 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 very subtle that the devil attacks people, and sometimes they don't even realize the devil is attacking them. He doesn't come by and say, "Ooh, I'm the devil, and I'm going to attack your mind." No, he just wants you to think that he's not even there. He wants you to think that you're thinking that thought, that you need to own that thought. And you say, "Why am I thinking this way?" No, here's what the a lady that says on TV, her name is Joyce Meyer, and she said, "You need to be thinking about what you've been thinking about." You know, don't just feed on every thought that comes to your mind. Begin to analyze it and say, is this lining up with the Word of God? Brother Hagin used to tell us that all the time. Is this thought line up with the Word of God? And then cast it down, just like Paul said. Cast it down. Say, no, I ain't thinking that way. I'm going to think this way, what the Word of God says. And you're going to be all right. Let's see over here in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. Here is an example of how this happens, of the subtlety of the devil. Here in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the devil's being attacked. You know, he's been attacked, I think, three or four times there. The devil comes to attack him and challenges him about who he really is. The devil took him up and revealed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I mean, the devil, he's got knowledge, he's got abilities to do certain things that other humans can't do. You can't enter a thought of another man's mind. But the devil, apparently, he's got this access to people that he can attack people. Now he come to Jesus and try to attack Jesus. And just imagine this. If he can attack Jesus this way, just imagine when he's going to attack you when you don't even have the Word of God in you planted the way you should. So he comes here to attack Jesus. He said, I'll give you all these kingdoms and authority. I'll give you the glory of all these kingdoms and the authority over them. Now, you know, he's being challenged here, and he's been given he was being enticed because he was being tempted to do something that he shouldn't do. Because the devil had these things that belonged to him because it was given over to him by Adam. Adam had the authority before, but the devil stole it from him through deception. And then the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And other scriptures tell about that he's the prince and part of the air. And so he comes to Jesus here, and he's enticing him and tempting him. He said, I'll give you all this glory and the kingdoms and authority over them. So a lot of people are getting attacked. They're being enticed and tempted to take the easy road, to do something that's maybe illegal or maybe immoral or something that they can take. And so, he said, because they are mine to give anyone I please. A simple understanding is that he got it from Adam and Eve. He said, I will give it to you, if you worship me. This is like selling your soul to the devil. He said, Jesus replied, the scripture said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So he replied with the scripture. So that's how you turn it around when you're casting down imaginations. You take scripture, you take the thought that's coming from the devil. He said, no, that's not right. And then you speak the word of God back to him and said, that's not how it goes. This is how it goes. Now, this happened in a moment of time. It was so quick and subtle that if you're not aware of the spiritual attack coming to you, you're going to think it's just you, or that you're just, you know, you're a failure, you're weak and all that stuff, or you're giving to something. So it's a split second, and it's actually so enticing that you want to jump at it. So thoughts are rushing through your mind, and your emotions are all aroused, and you want to jump to another area. So this is an attack. And then sometimes the devil will not only bring, you know, thoughts, arousing thoughts of the flesh, of your carnality to rouse you up. You're enticing you with your impulses of your flesh. He'll entice you in that way, but he'll also bring fear to you. Over here in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced and disciplined and self-controlled mind. Well-balanced mind. So God wants you to be well-balanced in your mind and your thinking. That's what it means to be a sober in your thoughts, to have sober thinking. That means you're balanced. You're so balanced that people think there's something wrong with you. I was listening to another man. There's a preacher on television. Man, he's so perfect. I mean, he's got every hair in place. I mean, he speaks all the right words. He's very gracious, wonderful preacher. And, you know, just fact is so nice. The fact you think there's something wrong with him. I mean, just so beautiful, this preacher. And so smooth. And makes it like it's easy. Anybody can get it right now. And, I mean, it's so, you believe that, man, I can do that too. But then we got off to listen to that preacher, and then I got it with my friend. He said, you know, one thing about that guy, you know, I like that guy, but there's something wrong with him. One thing about him is that he's all perfect. You know, he's too wrong, he's too nice. And so, you know, we just laugh about it because something can be so wonderful that you think it's not true. So God says in 2 Timothy that he's given us ability to control our minds. He said God has given us a well-balanced mind. In other words, you have to be the housekeeper of your mind. You can control your thoughts. You can control what goes in, what comes out of your thoughts, what you can imagine. That's your ability to manage that. Your thoughts are your thoughts. You can start thinking the way you want to think. You can don't just let battles go on your mind day after day, week after week. You're going to go crazy. Take your mind and start disciplining it. Talk to it. Tell it, you know, mind, listen. You're going to think what I want you to think. There's people, you know, I was at school being a professor, teacher there for a number of years, and kids would tell us, you know, hey, I got ADD, ADHD, whatever. He said, I can't control my thoughts. Well, you know, I want to say something, but you know, you can control your mind. Sometimes, you know, my parents used to grab a big stick and made us control our mind and made a stick right, you know. So you can think in the right place if you're being challenged. So sometimes people let themselves get away with stuff. And I like what Keith Moore used to say. He said, people will get away what they can get away with. And you, my friend, your flesh will get away what you let it get away with. And your mind will do what it wants to do if you don't discipline it. God wants to give you, he wants you to have that well-balanced mind because he's giving you that ability. He's giving you the ability to control that mind. And so, let's go read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 to 10. I'm reading the Amplified Bible, and this is controlling your thoughts concerning worry. He says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. You can find this scripture also in Psalm 55:22. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant. Cautious of all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil. Now, he's saying something here, right here. He's saying, listen, you can take your mind, you can be well-balanced, temperate, sober of mind. In other words, you're going to be sober as a judge, they say. Think right, think clear, have a clear mind about the things of God, about your body, about your mind, about your ability. So your mind is your mind. You can control what you think. I mean, you can think all kinds of ways you want to, if you allow yourself to, but you're going to be, tonight, starting tonight, you're going to learn how to control your thinking. Now, the Lord gave me this teaching here tonight. He said, I want you to teach people about spiritual warfare. I want you to teach people about the devil's tactics and what he's been doing to people, causing them fear and anxiety. And as long as you're fearful of doing what you're supposed to do, you'll never go to where you're supposed to go. The devil will make you fearful about losing, about not doing what you you know, winning, whatever. He'll put failure in your mind. And as long as you got that in your mind, if it's a stronghold in your mind, you're stuck there for the rest of your life unless you do something about that. That's not going to go away. It's always going to be there for 20, 30 years. It's going to still be there. And some people never get rid of it because they're afraid to go that direction. You got to believe these scriptures. So he says that the devil roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. That's because that person hasn't had the right mind. He doesn't think right. So he's going to attack you in your mind if you are not disciplined. He says there, withstand him. In other words, you have the power to withstand the devil in his thoughts. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood in the whole world of the Christians, body of the Christians, throughout the whole world. After you have suffered a while, you know, this is something we suffer. This is one kind of suffering we all have, and that is have to deal with the mind, have to deal with the devil. As long as you're in your physical body, you're going to have to deal with your mind. You're going to have to deal with your emotions. You're going to have to deal with fear. You're going to have to deal with crazy thinking. And you're going to have to deal with fear thoughts. You're going to have to take authority over these things. And that's something that you suffer right now. That's one kind of suffering that you're going to have to suffer. And God doesn't want you to be fearful about that. So that God of all grace, thank you for that, who imparts his blessing and favor, who has called you by his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely and strengthen you and settle you. In other words, be alert that this is going to happen. Don't be worried that this is happening. Be ready for the attacks in your mind. Be balanced or be in control of your mind. Why? Because God said you can control your mind. If you can control your mind, you can control your attitudes. If you can control your mind, you can control how you feel. If you can control your mind, you're going to make the next best step forward. Thank God for that. And another thing about it, the devil, he's going to attack you through people. He's going to attack you through a lot of people. Ever since you've been born, he's been trying to do that, control you through other people. Maybe perhaps through your mother. You ever tell your mom, you're just trying to control me. Husbands and wife says to me, you're always trying to control me. You're trying to control my thinking. You guys are trying to control my spending. I tell that my wife very often, and she does control my thinking, and thank God she does, because I'd have lots of trucks by now, been in jail. I'm glad she controls Pastor Steve. There's somebody around here that controls Pastor Steve's thinking, because he'd have several trucks, Mack trucks, around his house. Praise God. Well, we're going to erase that part of the tape. Anyway, let's go to here, Acts 14:2. This is how your wife controls you too. This is here's Acts 14:2. He said, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. How do you stir people up? How do you stir people up? How do you get them all riled up? Well, it says here, made their minds evil affected against their brother. In other words, you begin to plant seeds of thoughts in people's minds, then you stir people up. You know, the devil, he'll try to give you thoughts through people. He'll send people to you to stir you up a little bit and get you mad. All of a sudden, you're mad at the government. You're mad at the chief. You're mad at the police chief. You're mad at any kind of chief. Amen? So you wanna start killing people in your mind as a Christian. You murder several people on the way to church. I know I remember I had somebody in the chokehold. Man, I'm just about killing him and all that. And, you know, somebody said, me to say you think that way as a Christian? As a pastor? You're a pastor. Yeah, of course. The devil brings all kinds of things in my mind. But I don't act on them. Thank God we'd all be in jail by then. Thank God. Well, you need to do something with your mind. Romans 12:2 says so. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, when he talks about presenting your body, he's talking about learning to control your body's appetites. Because your body, if you were, single before, and you're messing around, sleeping with all kinds of women and all kinds of men, and you're eating, overeating, and overindulging, oversleeping, doing all kinds of stuff, When you get born again, listen, you got to control your body's appetites and impulses. So that's something that you have to do. The devil says, oh, go ahead and eat that extra pie. And you say, I wonder why I'm gaining so much weight. I wonder why these clothes are not fitting like they used to. Honey, are you using a different detergent? She says, yeah, honey. I've been turning up the heat on the washer. That's why it's so small on you. No, you've been eating too much. Okay. He says here, which is your reasonable service? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you have to renew your mind about a lot of issues concerning healing, health, concerning relationships, concerning a lot of areas. You have to renew your mind. So if you haven't been renewing your mind, you're not going to learn how to act on the Word of God. Notice this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So renewing the mind, planting the Word, changing your thinking, allows you to make decisions that are based on the Word of God. Because your mind can be messed up because the devil put all kinds of stuff in there. And if you don't have the ability to fight the warfare with God's Word and transplant and plant the Word in your heart and mind like you should be. So we need to focus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this, the Amplified Bible. If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, and thus the resurrection from the dead, aim and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is seated at, the right hand of God. And set your minds, listen to this, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. You know, earthly things are sensual things that are carnal things that have nothing to do with your salvation or have nothing to do with your victory. You have to start focusing on things that make your mind stable so that you'll be more healthier this year, more victorious this year, more in a state of mental healthy attitude all throughout the entire year than ever before. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect peace, constant peace, whose mind, both his inclinations and character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So the Bible tells us a lot about the mind, this where the spiritual warfare is going on, that we need to focus on what we need to focus on, and that is focusing on what God says about your situation. Now, how to have peace? We want to close with this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And I was a college student. I went to talk to a minister one time, and I had all these issues. And he gave me Philippians 4, 6, and I'm going, I come here to talk about my problem, my issues. And he gave me Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I said, man, this guy, I thought he was a counselor. He gives me Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8, 9, 10. And I was so disappointed, but years and years later, I realized about what he was doing. He says here, Philippians 4, 6, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now it says here, please, don't worry, have anxieties. Like, don't have anxiety attacks. I stopped having anxiety attacks. I decided years ago, I was getting issues of anxiety attacks. And I don't know, when you get older, you find out things, you learn things. You said, I wish I would have learned this earlier. I'd have been so free. And so I learned that, I finally learned to obey the scripture. I've heard this so many times, but finally I begin to understand what it says in there, that you don't have to ever fear. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid of dying or sickness or fear of having pain or whatever it is. You don't have to be fearful of anything, losing things and not having any money. So God doesn't want you to worry about anything. Once you get over that and say, you know what? I have no worries because God's going to take care of me. It says here, don't have any worries. So once you can get to this point where you say, you know what? I don't have any worries because God says, he told me to do it. If he said, don't worry, then I can do it. God would not tell me to do something I couldn't do. So sometimes you're attacked in the mind, then you tend to worry about something. So you need to realize this, what situation has been happening to you, is really a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual attack about worry. And so, but it said, but in every circumstance and everything by prayer and petition. In other words, learn how to pray. Take these to prayer to God. And say, God, I'm just casting this on you. And then thank Him with thanksgiving. So if you're thanking God after you pray, it means that you believe Him. Otherwise, why would you thank God? You thank God that He answered your prayer. And then continue to make your wants known. If there's a new one come up, you tell God again, another thing came up, which he already knows about, but it's for your good that you tell God, because you're throwing it on God. And he says that God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and fear nothing from God, and be content with earthly lot of whatever sort it is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and your mind in Christ. So, this anxiety, all these worries and concerns and all these fearful things that's going on, this warfare, you can take care of today. Thank God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for this time of teaching. I thank of exhortation in the Word of God that they can control their thinking. This spiritual warfare that's happening, this is something that the devil has planted, but they're going to tear down tonight. They're going to tear down every thought and bring it into captivity. We give you praise and all that you're doing right now, because you are a wonderful God. So we praise you right now, Father. We cast every care about our physical health. You said in 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes we are healed. Thank you that Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17 says. Philippians 4:19 says, you supply every one of our needs. Thank you, Lord God. You said in the 23rd Psalm, verse 1, that I don't have any need that you haven't already met for me. Thank you that you're my shepherd to lead me, to guide me, to protect me in all my affairs. And so, Father, we pray the prayer of committal, the prayer of consecration and dedication to you. And we say, Lord, we dedicate our lives to you again. We come to you today, Jesus. Take my whole spirit, soul, and body. Whatever you want me to do, I am yours. And Lord, let me think your thoughts, because your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so, Father, I recognize the attack of the enemy in my mind, and I'll bring down every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And what I learned from tonight's word, I'm going to follow and I'm going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not saved, you just say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner. Save me. I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, be my Lord, my Savior. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, it's that easy. And turn away from whatever you're doing and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. God bless you. We see you next time on this channel. Praise God. Bless you. Amen.